Welcome to Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while now, our desire is that by the end of our time together, you can say that you've fallen more in love with Jesus and have a greater passion for Him and His purposes in the earth. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
Passion and Purpose community, we are excited to be here today. We are talking about the Antioch Movement, Word of the Lord for 2024, which is
we're to be a multi-generational family on missions act. Did you know that?
Come on. I know it. I'm excited about it. And we're going to talk today about, well, what does that mean? And we're going to look at the next several episodes, yeah, just unpacking that, leaning in together and watching God work in our midst in this area. So I'm fired up to be here today. I'm fired up talking about it. How are you feeling, Jimmy?
Yeah, man, I feel great. And for those who are consistent listeners, part of the Antioch Movement, or not, we just want to let you know this is a part of a five-year journey. God spoke to us at the end of 2020. We started in 21, said we're going to be people of surrender. We worked on that year. The next year was people of prayer and worship. Not that we weren't doing all the other activities you're supposed to be doing, but God was highlighting different things. Last year was unity. This year, multi-generational family on mission. What I'm so excited about is from Genesis to Revelation, man, it is just rich with that theme. So we're going to be able to unpack it both biblically, historically, and practically together. And man, what I know about every listener out there is you want to be a person who is deeply connected to God, deeply connected to God's spiritual family, having health and restoration in your nuclear family, your natural family, as well as your spiritual family. And we're going to go on a great ride together. But Zach, you had an illustration to try to bring us into focusing on this particular topic. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, I love to listen to podcasts, and I listen to them oftentimes while I'm running or in the car. And sometimes you're just taking information in, and I'll be like, oh, that's cool. What we're doing here is a little different because we're wanting to lead you somewhere. And I was thinking about this interview that I heard on a podcast a number of years ago where a person was interviewing the best basketball trainer in the world. Okay. So this guy coaches the elite of the elite. He's not an NBA coach. He's the trainer that works with individual players. And his client list is crazy. What's unique about him is also that he starts with those guys, not once they're NBA all-star level, but many of them he started when they're 13 or 14, mm-hmm, and developed them into the all-stars that they are. So unique perspective. So on the interview, they're asking, well, how do you take someone who has potential but has a lot of need, a lot of things they need to work on, a lot of areas to develop, and how do you grow them to be an NBA all-star?
Sure.
And he said, well, you know, what you think is that you got a lot of need, you got a lot of things you need to work on. We're going to tackle all of them from the beginning. He said that actually doesn't work because it leaves a person feeling overwhelmed, trying to do too many things. You make progress and I said, as a trainer, what I do is we make a plan and we identify one core issue that they need to work on each off season. So maybe this off season we're working on, can you dribble left and shoot? Next offseason, can you dribble right and shoot? Mm-hmm. And he said, each offseason, we make progress on that one area.
Right.
And then over several years, we really build when all the pieces start to work together.
Yeah.
And after 5, 6, 7 years of diligent progress, the pieces come together. And now you have a player who's really, really developed. But you got to start and move one thing at a time, or emphasize one thing at a time.
Right.
And I love this process that we've been on as a family of churches, of seeking the Lord each year and asking Him, God, there's so many areas that we have need. There's so many places where we all realize we need help and we need to grow. Lord, would you help us? And God, in His kindness, has highlighted by the Holy Spirit, okay, this year, I want you to focus. I want you to focus on surrender, and we're going to take ground in the area of surrender. Okay, now we're going to build on that foundation.
Right.
We're going to take ground in the area of prayer and worship and grow in that. And now we're going to add into that unity, and we're building one after another, helping us in the areas that we all realize we need help and maturity. And this year, the Lord has been highlighting this theme of multi-generational family on mission.
Yep.
So as you're listening to this, don't just take it in passively, but we're believing that the Holy Spirit is at work in our family of churches, and that He wants to develop all of us in this area individually, but also as a church family, as a family of churches. And so we want to share these things So they were all paying attention to what is the Spirit highlighting in this season?
Yeah.
How is he at work in our own personal lives and in our community? And how is he at work developing us more and more into the people that he's designed us to be, yeah. the churches that he's desired us to be? And I'm really excited about that. So, Jimmy, let's start out. This theme runs throughout the entire Bible. So let's start out in the beginning. Take us into Genesis and help us begin to understand, what does God mean? What is he wanting in the area of family and multi-generational
sure.
family on mission?
Yeah. So, hey, before I jump in, let me do a shameless plug.
Plug it.
Or Antioch, you guys know the word, WOTL.com.
Hey.
We'll put it in the notes for you. That's where this Word of the Lord process we just talked about is where we're unfolding it together. We're kind of launching it to the public. Anybody can engage in it. There's a book in there called The Queen Mary, which builds on a lot of these processes we just talked about. And the reason that's so important is that we're to treasure the Word of God, Word of the Lord to us, and then we're to steward that Word, and then we're to stay faithful to that Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of our attempt to stay faithful and to keep you engaged. So Antioch, wordofthelord.com, or it's Antioch, WOTL.com is a place for you to stay connected with us in the journey. All right, with all that fanfare and foundation, let me just jump in to Genesis. And again, if you've been around a while, man, I love starting from the beginning. Because here's the deal. I just want to say it again. I have spent literally years meditating on Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. Because if you get it clear, if you get God's original intent before sin clear, then you understand what he's trying to do throughout the rest
right.
of the Bible, throughout world history, throughout your own history.
Right.
But if you don't get the top button right, you know, mm-hmm. we talk about that, then the rest of the shirt doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the topic is, and again, specifically, of course, being the family of God for the glory of God, this, you got to get the beginning right.
Right.
So the balance of today, and I don't even know if we'll get through the beginnings, but we're going to begin at the beginning, all right? So here we got. We got God created the heavens and the earth. Sentence number one. So you got to start with every good idea, every great idea, everything that we long to be and long for was created by God himself. So God in housing the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the family of heaven, the three in one, out of agreement together, developed a garden, a heaven and an earth and fruit and trees and air and water and land and everything, an environment that would be perfect for what? For him to create us, male and female, to create men and women in his image. It was God's idea, God's desire, created a perfect space and place for us, and then he created us perfectly in his image. So I want to jump into that passage after creating all the setup and the environment for us. And I just want to pause again and just think about that. God created the world perfectly for us. Like, even as you're listening right now, I'm breathing without thinking. Now, if I think about it, it gets a little weird, right? You ever done that? So don't think about it. But if you're thinking about it, I can have gratitude. God, you created air perfectly, oxygen, carbon dioxide, all that mixture that perfectly works for me to be able to live and move and have my being. Is that amazing? You guys are forming thoughts and ideas as I'm speaking. Your mind's like a computer. It's whirling. My computer's whirling in my mind. And I didn't create my mind. I was thanking God yesterday, literally moved to tears for being of sound mind. Thank you, Lord, that I can process information, worship you. I was thanking God for the two legs that I walk on. And again, if you're listening today and you don't have two legs, God has given you a heart. He's given you breath. He's given you life. If you do have two legs, rejoice. The God of creation created everything perfectly to operate for his glory and for our good. I mean, I just get wowed by that thought. So now we turn in to God creating it. It says this, Genesis 1, we'll just start in verse 27. God created man in his own image. That's the plural. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every living thing that moves on the earth. So here's what we got. We've got the God Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the union of perfect family, says, all right, we're going to reproduce family in our image. I'm going to create a man made uniquely, specifically male in every way, physically, biologically, relationally, the way he thinks, the way he serves, the way he leads. Everything about this man is uniquely made by God, but it's incomplete. So he makes female, everything about that perfect, right, so that together they would be one expression of glory when they walked in unity, when they walked in their grace, their gift, their calling together. It's fascinating. Now, I don't need to go too much in depth here, but I just want to touch biologically. We're all adults here, and even if we're not, it's just clearly biologically male who brings the seed. The woman receives the seed in the womb, and new creation and life is multiplied out of that holy physical union. And then over and over again throughout the scripture, that physical union that makes people one is analogous to our spiritual union. As we worship God, our bridegroom, the head, we receive the seed of grace into our lives, and it explodes into new life in us and then new life through us for the glory of God. A lot there. I know we're going big here, but we got to go big to grasp the height, the width, the breadth, and the depth of the love of God that he has for us and in this beautiful creation that he made. So he made us male and female. He created us. He blessed us. And again, I never want to overlook that little phrase, and he blessed them. Mm. Listen, if you're listening right now, you're like me. We run these mantras in our mind. I'm not enough. If I was just this, if I was just better looking, if I was just a better athlete, if I was just smarter, if I just had more networks, if I just had more money. We're always in that never enough train. But Adam and Eve didn't even have that thought because God blessed them. The intention of God is to bless you with love, care, favor, provision. All the stuff that you need in life, God looks towards you with desire to give to his creation because that's the beauty of clarity. So God blessed them. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth over the fish of the sea, over everything that I've created. So here's the other deal. Zach, this is a blowaway. God created male and female, perfect family. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He blessed them and he said, now come be my partners. Is that, I'm getting way more blown away than all the guys in the room right now. I just want to say this, that the God of creation, the perfect God, who had a perfect union, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a perfect family, turns around and says, I'm going to create men and women in my image, and then I'm going to give them the potential and the power to partner with me. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to relegate myself to that partnership so that the love is not a forced issue, but a chosen issue that would delight the created one and the creator in this perfect union of grace. Unbelievable. I just got to pause, Zach. What hit you there?
I mean, it's beautiful. And I think what I love, there's so many things I love about starting there in Genesis and looking at God's original intent is so often when you come into a new year, you're thinking, at least I am, through my problems, maybe my pain, my priorities. I'm just kind of, what am I feeling? What's going on in my world?
Right.
And by saying, no, we're not going to, that may be important, but we're not going to start there. We're going to start by looking at God. We're going to start by looking at God's original intent in creation. It just puts things in right order. Oh, we're going to begin with him. That makes sense. We're going to begin with God's purpose, not mine. And my story makes sense as a part of his story,
right?
Not me trying to get God to fit into
to my story.
I think that's just really, really powerful. Thank you for kicking us off there.
Well, let's keep going here. So then Genesis 2 is just a little more detail about the created order, how it goes. It says he took man out of dust and he breathed life into them. The ruha of God, the breath of God, it says in Hebrew. So God's very breath is breathed into the human soul where the human soul doesn't live. Yeah. So we are made in the image of God, breathed alive by God himself. We have the expression of God. And again, the lie of the devil is I'm separate from God. God doesn't care. God's not with me. Man, if you are breathing and seeing and listening to this podcast, you are loved by God. God's breath is in you, and you live a life because of God. Hey, just one other little rando deal here. In Genesis 1, verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness, and the waters were hovering everywhere. And then dry land appeared. We, in our minds, we see land, and then there's some water. God saw water, and he created land. So what am I trying to say here? The rivers of God are what create the cosmos of God, not the land and that brings us security. So what I mean by that is, when he breathes life in me, that's who I am. I'm a life-giving spirit of God. I, just like the waters flow below the earth, just like the waters flow throughout the earth, and then God creates landing spots for our hearts and for our lives, but it's the river of God, it's the life of God that makes us who we are. So then I'll jump forward here. Again, we're getting into family. He goes around, they name all the animals, and he said, all right, that's good, Adam, good job, but that's not going to be enough for you, right? And so we pick up verse 18. The Lord said to Adam, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every kind of that day, brought them to man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, the birds, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. All right, I'm going to keep restrain myself. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. He slept, then he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in that place. The Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Mm. Okay, so the beautiful, perfect God creates the beautiful, perfect male and female, puts his perfect life in them, and then he begins to work through the man and describes it this way in that process. He says, all right, I'm working through the man. He'll be the initiator, but in the end, he wasn't enough. He's incomplete without the woman. And it says that I'll make a helper suitable for him. That word helper is where we get the word the Holy Spirit. If you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if you have a male and female, if the male represents the bridegroom and the Holy Spirit represents in one way the bride or the response orientation, there has to be both to have a perfect union, to have a perfect expression of the family of God. So he breathes life into Adam. He then creates Eve, and now we have the perfect family living in perfect unity without shame. When it says they were naked, of course, we can jump to, okay, they were physically naked. But remember, even physical nakedness was not a sensual thing. It was a beautiful thing because it was just bearing the image of God, and it didn't have the taint that we'll talk about here in a moment. So they were unashamed, and they were free, and they were loving each other. Okay. So how does this deal with spiritual family on mission? When I look at the perfect God creating the perfect male and female, creating perfect partners, not just for the covenant of marriage, but perfect partners on the earth to serve his purpose and his plan, then I realize that every male matters and every female matters, and he doesn't want any of us to be alone. Wow. Is that good news, Zach?
It's great news.
God doesn't want you to be alone.
Right.
And it's not simply to meet your deficient need as much as it is, it reflects his glory when we're with one another, when we're present. Again, it's talking about the covenant of marriage here, but we also would say to all our single friends out there, that beauty of friendship between men and women expresses the glory of God. That's why a men's group alone is not enough. I want you to have some guys that you challenge one another and knock around with each other, but you can't just live with men. And of course, ladies need to be with ladies and experience the grace of God. But the beauty of God is when we find the honor and need for one another and we pull together. Many years ago, St. Francis of Assisi had this calling from God to rebuild the Church of God. And so he did a vow of poverty, and he and a bunch of dudes said, we're going to just live for God. We're going to be celibate. We're going to honor God. Well, some of the ladies, young ladies, some other single ladies said, hey, what about us? We feel called to consecrate ourselves to God. And so they started a women's order of consecration to God. And out of their friendship for one another, they began to serve God together in a way that created what some believe was the salvation for Europe again. As they begin to care for the poor, begin to do education, begin to do healthcare, they begin to bring a restoration process, not because there was one guy called of God or one lady called of God, but even in their singleness, they said, look, we feel actually never to get married, but to marry ourselves to Jesus and to serve one another. And out of that union and communion with God and one another, they begin to express the glory of God. They were a spiritual family on mission, though all the men and women of those two orders never married, but they did get married. They married themselves to Jesus, and then they covenanted to one another, agreed to serve one another for God's glory. And the beautiful Genesis passage was expressed all over, it ultimately would end up touching the whole world from single men and single women. So again, I want to make sure that we don't trip up here and you kind of zone out if you're single, because actually there's incredible value in our first consecration is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Our first congregation is to God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And then out of that, he gives us natural family that is to be beautiful, healthy, and strong. And at the same time, if we do not find ourselves getting married by choice or by circumstance or whatever the reason is, that in no way diminishes the beauty of union and communion that God has for us in what we call our spiritual family, the people of God.
Amen. That's all you said. Amen.
So, I'm excited because what I want to do from here is we're going to talk about Genesis 3 next time and unpack this whole idea of sin is the enemy.
Yeah.
So my wife is not my enemy.
Yeah.
My brother is not my enemy. The other humans on the earth ultimately are not my enemies. Of course, they can be enemies of God. They can make my life difficult or not. But ultimately, the sin is the enemy. And when we realize that, we tend to not wrestle then against flesh and blood. And we tend to start pulling people together and pulling covenants together and finding every way we can agree with everyone and everyone, because sin is the culprit, not God's original intent, desire, or even in his created beings, the desire of everyone is to be loved and to love. Even the most wicked person in the world, ultimately, the reason they're wicked is that sin in their family or sin in their lives has blinded them from the very thing they were created to do. And so as we unpack Genesis 3, then we're going to take a little roadmap of these covenants of God. God covenanting with man that would ultimately lead to our ultimate covenant with Jesus, that would lead us to the covenant of that we have not only with him, but with one another and being his bride for his glory. Okay.
I love it.
So what are you getting out of today, Zach?
Yeah, so I think one thing that I'm thinking about is starting this year, not looking at myself, but looking at God, looking at his original intent. And I love that picture of God making man and woman in his image, and that together we bear the image of God.
Yep.
And there's something powerful when men and women partner together. You talked about in marriage. You also talked about not in marriage, but as spiritual family, as the church, when we partner together, that we represent and reveal God's image in a unique way, and that God has a purpose for us, a mission for us. He gave to Adam and Eve, and he gives to his people. I just think that's such a great perspective to see, oh, this is what God desires. And I love the heart of God in there.
It's moving. Yeah, so I'm stirred today just as we wrap up. I just want to say to everybody listening, God's plans for your good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, and to put you in family. Psalm 68 says he puts the lonely in families. Yeah. And of course, we have natural families, but so many times that's so disappointing and it becomes our place of greatest pain. So then he creates the church,
right,
the people of God, to be a family that everyone can join into, yeah, no matter how disastrous your nuclear,
yeah,
experience has been, or even your adult experience. There is always hope because the head of this house is Jesus. Yeah. And when Jesus is the head of the house and we align with him, all things flow in the way that he intended, and there is grace for everybody.
I love that, because I love in that story, God sees Adam and he sees it's not good for him to be alone, and God provides. And we think about God's provision, at least I do. I think about God providing food or shelter or job or so many of those things. But a very clear biblical precedent we can see is that God cares about our relational needs.
Yes.
Just as much as he cares about our,
yeah,
you know, physical needs, and that God wants to provide those type of relationships, mm-hmm, for us, whether we had those in our biological family or not. God wants to knit, yeah, us together and fill that relational way that he has made us. And Amen. That's really exciting.
Yes. Amen. So, hey, stay tuned, gang. We've got the deals in the notes. We'll keep you updated. Go to AntiochWTL.com. It'll unpack a little bit where we are on the journey. And I am looking forward to this year launching it out to be a spiritual family on mission.